You're listening to the Redeemer Theological Academy with Pastor Brian Cashelmeyer of Redeemer Lutheran Church, Los Alamos, New Mexico. On the Redeemer Theological Academy, we mine the riches of the Scripture and the Church Fathers and find in them Jesus, our Savior, our Redeemer. Here's the Academy with Pastor Cashelmeyer.
Welcome back to the Redeemer Theological Academy. Now, in our last lecture, we talked about the significance of the written text for the generations after Moses. The written Word of God was given for the purpose of instruction in God's Word, as it was spoken by Moses the prophet. The people of God were called to remain in the Word of God, yet, by nature, man does not want to gladly hear and learn God's Word. Thus, Moses told the Israelites that after they crossed into the Promised Land, they would forsake the Lord their God, who had redeemed them and brought them out of slavery in Egypt. Moses warned them that they would turn away from the word of the Lord. He then gave the people the written word, which would bear testimony against them, that they would play the whore after false gods and follow false lovers, spiritual adultery. Now, in the 31st chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, not only are we told about the importance of the written word of God, but we are also taught that Joshua was appointed by God to lead the Israelites into the promised land. Joshua was to take the place of Moses. He was to be the successor of the prophet. So we are told this in chapter 31, verse 7. Then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, "Be strong and courageous, for you shall go with this people into the land that the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall put them in possession of it." Now later in verse 9, we read, "Then Moses wrote this Torah and gave it to the priests, the sons of Levi, who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, and to all the elders of Israel." Again, this is Deuteronomy 39, and this is now verse 9. Now, I say Torah, and most of our English translations would say law, but let's be clear, the Hebrew word is Torah, which is instruction. So Moses is instructing the people in the way they are to go, instructing them as the Lord has revealed divine truth that he wants them to know. Now, there is a direct correlation between the appointing of Joshua and the teaching of Moses. Joshua is given the duty to lead the Israelites to be faithful to the Lord as they enter the promised land. They will go with the written word of Moses. Now, later in the same chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, we are told that the Lord summoned Moses and Joshua. So in Deuteronomy 31, verses 14 through 15, we read, "And the Lord said to Moses, 'Behold, the days approach when you must die. Call Joshua and present yourselves in the tent of meeting, that I may commission him.' And Moses and Joshua went and presented themselves to the tent of meeting. And the Lord appeared in the tent in a pillar of cloud, and the pillar of cloud stood over the entrance of the tent." Now you see, at the tent of meeting, the Lord foretold that the people would reject him. The Lord told Moses to write this word as a song to bear testimony to this revealed truth. And so in chapter 31, verse 19, we hear this. "Now therefore, write this song and teach it to the people of Israel and put it in their mouths, that this song may be a witness for me against the people of Israel." Again, that's verse 19 in chapter 31. Now, after the Lord instructed Moses to write this song for posterity's sake, he commissioned Joshua to lead the people of God. For our text goes on to say this, "And the Lord commissioned Joshua the son of Nun and said, 'Be strong and courageous, for you shall bring the people of Israel into the land that I swore to give them. I will be with you.' When Moses had finished writing the words of this Torah in a book to the very end, Moses commanded the Levites who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, take this book of the Torah and put it by the side of the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, that it may be there for a witness against you. Again, this is the same chapter 31, verses 23 through 27. You see, here it is made known in public that Joshua is to be the man that is appointed by God as a successor in the office of proclaiming God's word, this prophetic office. And it is the written word that he will have with him as he goes into the promised land. This written word will be held onto by the Levites. The Levitical priests are the depository through which this book would remain, and that the people would be able to know and to hear clearly what God has revealed, so that Joshua can continue in the words of Moses, describing to the people all the mighty things that he had done through Moses and all God's promises to his people. Now, the next book of the Old Testament scriptures, after you have the five books of Moses, is none other than the book of Joshua. Now, here we have Joshua, the successor of Moses, who will take his place when Moses dies to lead the people into the promised land with the written word of Moses. And then we'll see as we go through the book of Joshua, it will end on the same note, in which Joshua will die, and he will hand over his written word for posterity's sake as the people live in the promised land. The book of Joshua opens with these words in chapter 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, to the great sea, toward the growing down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Well, this is the first five verses in the book of Joshua. And notice right away, immediately, we are instructed that God himself is speaking to Joshua. So you'll see this format develop where God speaks to the prophet then speaks to the people. So Joshua, being in this prophetic office, hears the word of God, and then that word is put into his ears and upon his lips so that he can speak it into the ears of the people of God. So we'll see this pattern where God speaks and then the prophet speaks. Now God continues to speak in chapter 1, starting at verse 6. Saying to Joshua, be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the Torah that Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the Torah shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So again, this is Joshua chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. So in this opening chapter of the book of Joshua, we see this direct connection between Joshua and Moses, that Moses himself spoke those very words into the ears of Joshua, saying, be strong and courageous. And now Joshua hears the verbal word of the Lord telling him the same thing, that the Lord is assuring him that as the Lord was with his servant Moses, the Lord will be with his servant Joshua. As the Lord spoke with Moses, and Moses then spoke the word to the people, the Lord would speak to Joshua, and Joshua too would take that word to the people. Now also, we see this connection between what God is speaking to him verbally in the present and what God had spoken in the past through the mouth and the hand of the prophet Moses. So these written words of Moses, Joshua is to take into his mouth, and he is not to depart from the left or to the right, so that Joshua is to speak the same thing that Moses spoke, that Joshua is to be a true successor of Moses. So that in this passage we learn that the Lord spoke to Joshua with the same divine promises that were spoken to Moses. And the Lord instructs Joshua to retain the words of Moses in the written form of the Torah. These written words are to be meditated upon day and night. And just as the prophet Moses was sent by God, spoke the word of God, and did miraculous wonders, so too Joshua was appointed by the Lord to do the same. In chapter 3 of the book of Joshua, we are also told, about one such miracle. Just like the miracles of Moses, we have these similar miracles of Joshua. So specifically in chapter 3, we learn about this crossing over of the Jordan River. Now in chapter 3, verses 5 through 6, we read this. Then Joshua said to the people, "Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." And Joshua said to the priest, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on before the people." So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. And so we see immediately this succession of Joshua in this office to lead the people into the promised land, that he will be like Moses as he will lead the people across the water on dry land. But what will be really unique here is that they have the Ark of the Covenant and they have the Levitical priest instituted by the Lord to assure the people of God of God's presence for their benefit, sacrificing and making atonement for their sins to bestow his holiness upon them. And so Joshua directs the Levites to take the Ark of the Covenant, the visible, tangible place where God is present in the midst of his people. Now in the next verse, in verse 7, "The Lord said to Joshua, 'Today I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. And as for you, command the priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when you come to the brink of the waters of the Jordan, you shall stand still in the Jordan.'" Now this is verses 7 through 8. And again, we see this pattern where the Lord speaks to Joshua. And when Joshua receives the word from the Lord as a successor in this prophetic office of Moses, Joshua then takes that word and speaks it to the people. So immediately in the next verse, after the Lord had spoken to Joshua, in verse 9 we see Joshua speaking to the people. Verse 9 reads, "And Joshua said to the people of Israel, 'Come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God.' And Joshua said, 'Here is how you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites.'" Excuse me, to be clear, it's not Perizzites, but the Perizzites. Of course, in a way, they are like Perizzites, but it's the Perizzites. "The Lord will also drive out the Girgashites, the Amorites, and the Jebusites. And behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth is passing over before you into the Jordan." So this is Joshua chapter 3, verses 9 through 11. So again, you see the pattern. The Lord spoke to Joshua. Now Joshua speaks to the people, assuring the people of God's presence with the Ark of the Covenant, and that God himself will fulfill his promises, that he will give to them the promised land. And so the people are to be assured that just as God was with them when Moses was alive, God will be with them as Joshua leads them as a successor to Moses. So in the next verse, we continue where Joshua continues to instruct the people, saying this, "Now therefore, take 12 men from the tribes of Israel, from each tribe a man. And when the soles of the feet of the priest bearing the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off from flowing, and the waters coming down from above shall stand in one heap." So this is verses 12 through 13. Again, as Joshua is instructing the people, we see a similarity between this wonder and miracle that the Lord is about to perform in their sight and the one that the Lord performed with his servant Moses at the Red Sea, so that the water will divide and you'll have walls of water on each side, but yet the people will walk through the water. Now, after Joshua finished instructing the people, in verse 14, we see the result, the response of the people. And so we read, "So when the people set out from their tents to pass over the Jordan with the priest bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and as soon as those bearing the Ark had come as far as the Jordan, and the feet of the priest bearing the Ark were dipped in the brink of the water," the Jordan overflows all its banks throughout the time of harvest, "the waters coming down from above stood and rose up in a heap very far away at Adam, the city that is beside Zarethan, and those flowing down toward the sea of the Arabah, the Salt Sea, were completely cut off. And the people passed over opposite Jericho. Now the priest, bearing the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, stood firmly on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all Israel was passing over on dry ground until all the nation finished passing over the Jordan." So this is chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. So just as with Moses, the people, now under the leadership of Joshua, are crossing over on dry ground. This time it was the Ark of the Covenant rather than the staff of Moses. The Ark of the Covenant had the promise of God's word attached to it. Where the Israelites saw the Ark, they were assured that the Lord dwelt there in their midst. And so also understand that connection between the Levitical priest instituted by God to bear the Ark. Now recall, the Levitical priests were also given the responsibility of placing the written word with the Ark of the Covenant. So when you see the Ark of the Covenant, you know the promise of God to be there present with his people. And when you see the Ark of the Covenant, it also reassures you that we have the written word of Moses, that we continue in the teaching of Moses, the one whom God had appointed to lead them out of Egypt. Now, in another instance, through Joshua, the successor of Moses, the Lord God brought down the walls of Jericho. And again, the Ark of the Covenant was visually assuring the people of God's presence. So in Joshua chapter 6, we read, "So Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said to them, 'Take up the Ark of the Covenant and let seven priests bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the Ark of the Lord.' And he said to the people, 'Go forward, march around the city, and let the armed men pass on before the Ark of the Lord.'" Now that's Joshua chapter 6, verses 6 through 7. Now the Lord fought for the Israelites, and they took the city of Jericho. However, the people broke the covenant with the Lord, and when Achan took some of the devoted items for himself, it resulted in the people being defeated when they went up against the city of Ai. Now the Lord revealed this sin to Joshua and the people and to Achan himself, who was put to death. Then the Lord went and fought for the people against the city of Ai, and it was defeated. Now after the victory, Joshua renewed the covenant with the Lord in the midst of the people, taking them back to the written word of God.
So again, we see this connection with the Ark of the Covenant, the Levitical priest instituted by God, the connection with Moses and Joshua, his successor, and the written word that the Levites were to maintain, that Joshua himself was to meditate upon, and that the people were to cling to. But yet they did not, just as Moses had told them. Now in chapter 8, when Joshua renews the covenant, taking them back to the written word of Moses, we hear about the altar that is built. So starting at verse 30, we read this. At that time, Joshua built an altar to the Lord, the God of Israel, on Mount Ebal, just as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded the people of Israel, as it is written in the book of the Torah of Moses, an altar of uncut stones upon which no man has wielded an iron tool. And they offered on it burnt offerings to the Lord and sacrificed peace offerings. And there, in the presence of the people of Israel, he wrote on the stones a copy of the Torah of Moses, which he had written. Joshua chapter 8, verses 30 through 32. Again, we see the significance of the written word. When the people of God broke covenant and proved to be unfaithful to God, rejecting and despising his word, it is Joshua who takes them back to the word by bringing the written word before them. And so Joshua does, in accordance with the written word, to put them back in line with the teaching of Moses, that they build an altar just like Moses had declared. And then we also see doubly the significance of the written word, because now Joshua himself is going to make a copy of this instruction of Moses, so that Moses wrote it, and now Joshua is going to rewrite it, to re-emphasize that the people are to remain faithful to God and God's word. And God's word is known by God's prophets, and God's prophets give the written word for posterity's sake so that they can be certain that the people are listening to what the prophets preached. Now, later on in chapter 8, again in the book of Joshua, it goes further and it says this at verse 33. And all Israel, sojourner as well as native born, with their elders and officers and their judges, stood on opposite sides of the ark before the Levitical priest who carried the ark of the covenant of the Lord, half of them in front of Mount Gerizim, and half of them in front of Mount Ebal, just as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded at the first, to bless the people of Israel, and afterward he read all the words of the Torah, the blessing and the curse, according to all that is written in the book of the Torah. There was not a word of all that Moses commanded that Joshua did not read before all the assembly of Israel, and the women, and the little ones, and the sojourners who lived among them. Now this is Joshua chapter 8, verses 33 through 35. Again, we see the significance of the written word. When Joshua takes them back to the covenant, that they would renew their covenant with the Lord, he takes them back to the written word. And so he goes back to the word as Moses instructed, as Moses had warned, as Moses had written, so that the people would hear the words of Moses, the blessings and the curses that Moses himself had written in the Torah, that this would be read in their presence so they could be certain and sure that they hear Moses preaching to them in their own day, knowing that they hear the word that God spoke to Moses, and Moses now speaks to the people. Now, at the end of Joshua's life, we see a parallel with the end of Moses' life. The same kind of a context takes place, where now Joshua has done his duty, what he was called specifically by the Lord to do, to take God's people into the promised land. And at the end of Joshua's life, you see him emphasizing that the people should remain faithful to the Lord by listening to the written word, and then Joshua himself writing the word, and just like Moses, Joshua instructing the people in the depravity of humanity, how wicked the sinful heart truly is, that in our heart of hearts that's tainted with sin, we actually despise God's word. But God gives us the gift of his word so that we learn to gladly hear God's word and desire to increase in our understanding and knowledge of it. And so we see this in chapter 23 of the book of Joshua. Now, starting at verse 1, we read this. A long time afterward, when the Lord had given rest to Israel from all their surrounding enemies, and Joshua was old and well advanced in years, Joshua summoned all Israel, its elders and heads, its judges and officers, and said to them, I am now old and well advanced in years, and you have seen all that the Lord your God has done to all these nations for your sake. For it is the Lord your God who has fought for you. Behold, I have allotted to you an inheritance for your tribes, those nations that remain, along with all the nations that I have already cut off from the Jordan to the great sea in the west. And so this is Joshua giving kind of his farewell sermon here, addressing the people before he dies and goes on to glory, and instructing them and reminding them to be faithful to the Lord and to keep covenant. And so Joshua goes on in verse 5 saying this, the Lord your God will push them back before you and drive them out of your sight, and you shall possess their land just as the Lord your God promised you. Therefore, be strong to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the Torah of Moses, turning aside from it neither to the right hand nor to the left, that you may not mix with these nations remaining among you, or make mention of the names of their gods, or swear by them, or serve them, or bow down to them, but you shall cling to the Lord your God just as you have done to this day. So this is Joshua chapter 23, verses 5 through 8. Again, we see Joshua emphasizing the significance of the written word. That just as Joshua was commissioned by the Lord to take the written word and to meditate upon it day and night and not to go to the right nor to the left, now Joshua is instructing God's people to take this written word, to learn this written word, and not to turn to the right or to the left, not to add to it or subtract from it, not to twist it or to distort it, but to rejoice in it. And so the Lord gives this gift of the written word for posterity's sake. For the people in Joshua's presence had seen some of these wonders of the Lord. But yet future generations will have not seen such things. And so the written word testifies to God interacting in history in his creation for the salvation of his people. So just like Moses, Joshua warns the people right before his imminent death, and he explains to them that because of our sinful condition, we're going to want to desire things that are contrary to God's will, that we're going to want things that God doesn't want, that our wills are twisted and distorted towards the things of this world, that is, this fallen world. So Joshua says in chapter 23, starting at verse 11, be very careful, therefore, to love the Lord your God. You see, there is a direct connection between loving God and keeping his word. We learn to love God by learning to listen to his word.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Redeemer Theological Academy. For more episodes or to leave comments about this show, please visit our website, RedeemerTheologicalAcademy.org. Again, that's RedeemerTheologicalAcademy.org. Thanks for listening, and may our Redeemer, Jesus Christ, continue to be your life and salvation, your hope and your peace.